Welcome to the Hillside Church Sermon Podcast. We're thrilled to have you join our community. Each week, Pastor Brad, our pastoral team, or our guest speakers bring the Bible's timeless truths to life, offering messages that are not just inspiring, but deeply relevant to your daily journey. Whether you're joining us in Airdrie or tuning in from anywhere around the world, we hope these sermons encourage you, strengthen your faith, and help you feel more connected to Jesus and to us. Thanks for being part of our Hillside family. Let's grow together in faith and love. As family, we go.
There's so many aspects of the Christmas story that we could talk about. There's so many bits and pieces and parts and people in this story that we could all spend our time focusing on. But tonight I want to focus on two of the groups of people that we've already been introduced to this evening. I want to focus on the shepherds, and I want to focus on the wise men. Because when Jesus was born, God really sends out two invitations. He sends out invitations to two groups of people. He invites shepherds and he invites wise men. And when we take some time to unpack sort of who these folks are and what it means that they were invited, it helps us to learn and to see a bunch about who God is, and it helps us to learn and to see how God sees us. And so the first group that God sends an invitation to is the shepherds. And we read this account in the book of Luke chapter 2. We read where it says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, the Messiah, Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.' When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger." So we have this account where this angel shows up to proclaim the birth of the Savior, the birth of the Messiah, that there was this great news that will be for all people everywhere, that for all people, all time, everywhere, will be able to receive good news of great joy because today the Savior has been born. But we also see that this proclamation, this declaration, but also this invitation to come to Jerusalem and or to come to Bethlehem and see this baby was extended to shepherds. And this is important for us to be able to understand because in the time and the place where this story takes place, being a shepherd was not seen as an ambitious goal in life. There was no trade schools, there was no colleges or universities to train you in being a shepherd. Instead, shepherding was where you would end up when your life fell apart. If there was nothing else left for you to do, if you had tried everything else and failed, you could be a shepherd. Somebody somewhere could use you to stay up all night out in the fields alone in the dark, making sure the sheep were okay. Shepherds were not seen as contributors. They were not seen as good people. They were seen as the outsiders, the outcasts, those left off to the side of life. And it's important that we know that and we understand that because this is who God sends his invitation to. This is who God says, "The Savior has been born. Who do I want to be there? I want shepherds." That God sends his grand announcement to some of the most overlooked and dismissed parts of society. These are the ones that he would speak the introduction to his son. And this is important for us to be able to know and to understand that God welcomed the shepherds, that God invited the shepherds, because it lets us know how God feels about us. No matter how we may feel about ourselves, no matter how we may think other people see us, that we may think other people, when they look at us, they might say, even them, Lord? Or maybe we've started to even think that about ourselves, that we would think to ourselves, God, can you love even me? But when we see that God extended an invitation to the shepherds, when we see that God invited the outcasts, when God invited those ostracized, when God invited those on the outside looking in, it serves as a promise and an invitation, too many vowels in there, and an invitation to each one of us that we are all welcomed in. We are all invited. If you feel ostracized, if you feel like an outcast, if you feel like you're on the outside looking in, then you're part of the exact group that God says, I want you there when the Savior is born. But then there's this second invitation that's extended, the second group of people who are invited to come to Jesus' birth. We read in Matthew chapter 1 about an invitation that goes out to some wise men, and we read this. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star with him, it rose, and we've come to worship him." Now, we don't know a whole lot about these wise men, about these magi. We don't know specifically where they came from, and we don't know how many there were. Traditionally, if you've seen pictures or illustrations or whatever, or movies or videos like we just showed, there's typically three wise men. The reason for that is because they brought three gifts, and so we just kind of say one person per gift, but we don't know that that's specifically how it worked out. There would be at least two because it's a plural, but it could have been three, it could have been five, could have been 10, could have been 15, could have been 100. We don't know. But what we do know is a couple things about them. We know that they weren't from the area. We know that they traveled far to come and see him. We know that they were from another country. We don't know exactly where, but we do know that it was a long distance for them to get there, and we know that it took them a long time to get there. And we know that they were not followers of God, of the God of the Bible. We know that they weren't there because this is the fulfillment of an Old Testament prophecy. We know that that's not why they were there. When you look at the word that we will translate into magi, or we will translate into wise men, what it really means is they were magicians. They were soothsayers. They were sorcerers. They were people who didn't worship the God of the Bible, but they were people who worshiped stars and worshiped the sun. That's what magi means, that they were sun star worshipers. They were there because they loved God and they were followers of his. They were there because they saw a star. And we know that they were important people. We know that they were very important people. Because as the story unfolds, we have them arriving in Judea. And it's the scriptures will tell us that they go and they meet with King Herod. Now, Herod wasn't a king. We call him King Herod because he was a deeply insecure man. He was actually more like a governor. But he wanted to be called King Herod because he wanted the authority that came with being king. But even if he wasn't a king and was just a governor, you don't walk into the governor's mansion and just demand a meeting. You don't just walk into the governor's mansion and say, "Hey, I'm from out of town. I got some questions. Is the governor available to answer?" You don't just walk into the governor's mansion and say, "Hey, we've traveled a really long way. We'd like to talk with the governor." You only get an audience with the highest authority people if you are qualified to be there. If your name carries some significance, if your role carries some influence, if you carry some affluence that allows you to be able to meet with the governor. And so the fact that they were able to show up in Judea and have a meeting with the governor means that they were important, means that they were significant, means that they had influence. But we read that they went on from King Herod and they found Jesus and they worshiped him with gifts. In verse 9, we read, and they had, or after they had Herod, after they had Herod the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. In coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Jesus extends this invitation to these powerful people of influence who lived in a land far away. And this is a big deal for us to remember because there's something profound that we can learn about God in this moment from the fact that they came from far away. See, from the very beginning moments of Jesus's life, from the moment that he entered into the world, God, Jesus, was calling people who were far away from him. God was wanting to reach people who were far from him. Maybe tonight in your story, you can identify with these wise men. Maybe you see yourself as someone who's far away from God. Maybe even though you're at church tonight on Christmas Eve, you're at church, you may know that I'm only here because my wife told me I had to be. Or I'm only here because my parents said I had to come. Or I'm only here because my kids dragged me along. Or I'm only here to make tomorrow's dinner less awkward. You may say, I may be at church, but I'm far, far from God. And if that's you tonight, God wants you to know the same thing that God wanted these magi, these wise men, these magicians to know. That even though they were far from God, and even though you may feel like you're far from God, God wants you to know that he loves you. See, God's love is for everyone. God loves everyone. God loves you as much as he loves me. God loves those who are far from him as much as he loves those who follow him. God loves the most important people, and God loves the least important people. God loves the magi, and God loves the shepherds. God's love is for everyone. So what do we learn from these two sets of visitors being part of this story? Among other things, what it shows us is how God brings together all kinds of people. The shepherds were similar to Mary and Joseph. They were ordinary people from a small village just trying to make ends meet with low-income jobs. But these visitors from out of town, they couldn't have been more different. They were from another country. They likely had different beliefs. They also seemed to have wealth and influence and importance, which Mary and Joseph and the shepherds, they did not. Two very groups of people. Friends, we know all too well, in this world, our differences can divide us up. But the Christmas story creates connection for all people. God wants to include everyone in his family. So God invites people nearby, people who are followers of him, and God invites those from far away, those who don't know him, to come and celebrate Jesus. See, God is building a family. And so he leads us to let go of an us versus them mentality. And that's one of the things we celebrate at Christmas. Jesus showing us the power of humility, of connection, and of empathy. Jesus surrounded himself with all kinds of people. He taught people how to relate to God by caring for others. So many of the miracles Jesus performed benefited people who were considered insignificant or spiritually broken or outside. Jesus ate meals with sinners, and he offered hope to broken and to suffering people. But Jesus is much more than a positive example for us. He is God with us. And he gave up his life and rose from the dead to make a way for all of us to find true and lasting forgiveness. The Christmas story is a powerful preview of the life of Jesus, and it's a powerful preview of the life he's called us to live. It reminds us of what God is like and how he's saving the world. At Christmas, God gave his son as a gift to the world. It's a gift of purpose, of belonging, and of friendship.
Sing sweet and low, a love.
Thank you for listening to this message from Hillside Church. We're so glad to be able to share God's word with you as part of our church family. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Hillside Airdrie. Send us an email at info@hillsideairdrie.ca. You can also reach out to our pastors via our website, hillsideairdrie.ca, by selecting Our Church in the main menu, then Our Leadership from the drop-down. Our vision is to help everyone know God, know his hope, know his purpose, and know his power together. As family, we go.
The dark, a star that beckons them, a mother tonight is rocking a cradle in Bethlehem, a little child. Prophet said of old, in storm and tempest, heed them until the bell is tolled. Fall on your knees. Tonight is right.